Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. We're going to be in part two of our Elijah to Elisha series. Last week, we kind of more focused upon Elijah and about how he heard God's voice while hiding in the cave and how he heard this still, small, quiet voice from God. And one of the things that we picked up last week was Elijah was hiding in the cave, running from Jezebel, because he felt as if he was the only person who was still walking with God, who was still walking in righteousness and doing that which was right. But upon hearing God's voice and upon feeling the weight of God's glory while in that cave, God gives him an instruction, and his instruction is to go and find Elisha. And so that's what we're going to talk about this week, is the call of Elisha. So when Elijah felt that he was alone and there was nobody else with him, God opens his eyes and says, I want you to go and find Elisha. I'm going to give you a person that you are going to be a mentor unto, that you're going to train. And this person is going to be the next prophet of Israel. And Elijah gladly accepts that role and goes and does what God instructed him to do. Elijah doesn't get protective over the fact that he is the prophet, but he is willing to go and get Elisha and to train Elisha to be the next prophet of Israel. So we're going to look here in 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to look at the call of Elisha, and we're going to be in verse 19. So he went from there. This is Elijah leaving from the cave. So he went from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elisha passed over to him and threw his mantle on him. So he forsook the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? So he returned from following him, and he took the pair of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the implements of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and ministered to him. So the first thing I want to talk about is Elijah has left the cave. He has followed the instructions that God has given him. He has went and he has found Elisha. And where does he find Elisha? What is Elisha doing? Elisha is working in the field. Elisha is not in a school of the prophets. He's not in the temple. He's not what you would think would be a typical place to find the next prophet of Israel. But you find him working in the field. What is Elisha doing? Elisha is being faithful in the task and the job that he has. Elisha is not sitting around being idle, but he is working and he is serving. And it is him working in the field. And see, God sees Elisha working in the field. And he sees something in Elisha and the way that he is working in the field that shows God that he is a person who is faithful. There is something that he sees in Elisha and the way that he is working the field that shows that he is one to be trusted, that he is one who can be the next prophet of Israel. So we have to learn to be grateful and not despise being a person who works in the field. being a person who is faithful and working hard and being a person who can be trusted, even in a task or a job that may not seem grand or may not get a lot of attention from other people. Working in the field was not something that was glamorous. It wasn't something that brought a lot of attention unto oneself. But it was in the person who was okay and happy and was blessed and joyful and grateful and willing to be faithful and willing to be faithful in doing that job that maybe others would not have that gratitude toward, that would not have the good attitude toward doing that job that showed that Elisha was to be the next prophet of Israel. There are other people that we see that had the same type of humble beginnings as well. Remember David, when he was anointed king, David was found working in the field. When Saul had disobeyed God's voice, and Saul did not do as he was instructed and had shown himself not to be faithful, not to be willing to follow the voice of God and to do that which was right, but instead chose to do what the people wanted instead of doing that which was right, that which was from God. He sought to please the people. There is a danger in seeking to be a people pleaser. We need to pay attention to who we are pleasing. Are we pleasing God or are we pleasing people? And Saul fell into the trap of pleasing people. And remember, when God anointed Saul, he anointed a king that looked like a king unto the people. He gave the people a king that they wanted, and ultimately they got a king who, instead of doing that which was right, which was going to lead the country, the nation, in that which was right, he was following that which pleased the people, okay? Now, let's look back at the call of David. David was found working in the field. And God, upon choosing David, said, I am now going to choose a king who is after my heart. So when God goes looking for a king who is after his heart, he finds him in the field. He looks after a king and finds a king who doesn't physically appear to fit the role of a king. But there were attributes and there was a character inside of David that made him the person to be the next king over Israel. And part of that was the fact that David was found being faithful in the field and doing that which maybe no one else wanted to do. But he did it with the right attitude, with gratitude, with joy and faithfulness. And he was one who could be trusted in the field. And because he could be trusted in the field, God knew that he could be trusted to be the king. If you can't be trusted in the humble beginning, then you cannot be trusted to be the king or to be the prophet. So 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 11, and this is the prophet Samuel when he was sent to anoint the next king. And he is sent unto Jesse, and he tells Jesse to call all your sons out because the next king is one of your sons. And so here in verse 11, and Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the young men? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he is shepherding the sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him. For we will not turn around until he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And Yahweh said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of Yahweh came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. So when we think about this story here, Samuel goes unto Jesse and he is going to anoint one of his sons king. And Jesse calls all of his sons forward to stand before Samuel, except for David. He leaves David working in the field. Jesse didn't even think it was worth calling David forward unto Samuel, because all David was to Jesse was someone who was working out in the field. In Jesse's mind, he never thought that David would be the one of his sons that would be anointed king. But when God is looking for the one that he can trust, he isn't looking at it like men look at it. He looks at it differently. According to Jesse, David did not appear to be a king, but he was the one that God was looking for. And so Jesse has to go and get David, because as Samuel is going through this line and he sees all his sons, and Yahweh hasn't told him that any one of these is the next king. And so he has this dilemma. He has this problem. So he looks at Jesse. He goes, are these all of them? And Jesse's like, no, I have one more. He goes, well, go and get him. And he was the one who was found worthy to be the next king of Israel. We also see with the disciples of Yeshua, the calling of them, the ones that he chose to be his disciples, the ones that he chose to follow after him. Because remember, that's what Elisha was to Elijah at the beginning. He was a disciple of Elijah. Okay. Yeshua, upon calling his disciples, he didn't call the religious leaders of that time to come and follow him. But a handful of them were people he found while fishing. So in a regard and in a way, they were in the field as well. They were about their task, their job, doing what they were supposed to be doing. And we see that here in Mark chapter 1 and verse 16. And he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Yeshua said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And on going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and they went away to follow him. So Yeshua finds Simon and Andrew, James and John while they're fishing at the Sea of Galilee, and he sees them and he calls them and he says, look, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. You have done this task and you have done it well, but we have something greater for you. So come and follow me and I will make you something greater. We need to show that we are faithful with where we are, and it is in our willingness to be faithful, to have joy, and to show gratitude and thanksgiving in the humble beginnings, and being faithful and showing that we are trustworthy in the humble beginnings, to where he will come and he will call us and say, hey, you've been faithful. Now come with me and I'm going to make you something greater. Because when you can be trusted in the smaller things, now he can trust you to do something greater. You know, we talked about the life of Joseph. It was Joseph being able to be faithful and have the right attitude while he was locked up in prison that put him in position to be able to serve under Pharaoh and to be as Pharaoh in Egypt. He was willing to go through the humble beginnings and have the right attitude and to be faithful and trustworthy even in the humble beginnings. Okay. And so that's what Elisha was. And upon Elijah seeing Elisha, what Elijah does is it says that he throws his mantle on Elisha. Now, this is a symbolic gesture of what Elijah is doing with Elisha. Number one, he is showing that I am taking you under my wing. I am going to make you my disciple, just as Yeshua made the disciples his disciple. He brought them underneath himself and he taught them and he trained them because Yeshua knew he was going away and he was going to be gone. And when he was gone, he was going to leave the work unto the disciples. And so he's training them and teaching them so that when he leaves, they're here to continue the work. And it's the same with Elijah. Elijah is going to be called into the heavens and he is going to depart and he is going to leave. And this is the season and the time to which Elijah gets to teach the one who is going to succeed him. And that's what he is doing. The mantle also represents the anointing of Elijah, that I am going to be passing my anointing on to you. Elisha doesn't on day one begin operating in the anointing that Elijah is operating in. He first goes through this training process and this process of serving Elijah. And then when Elijah is called away, then Elisha begins to operate in the anointing of Elijah. But the mantle being placed upon him here on the first day is symbolic that this anointing, the work that I'm doing, the things that I'm doing, the things that you see me do, as you walk with me and as you serve with me, one day you will be doing that. And you just need to believe and trust that that day is coming. And we have been given something unto us as well. God has given us his mantle. Yeshua has given us his spirit so that we can do the work that he did, that we can do what he did, that we can serve and function in the same ministry that he had. Let's look at John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. We need to believe that his spirit is upon us. We need to believe that he has given us his spirit. And he calls his spirit the advocate. His spirit is our helper. He has placed his spirit upon us to help us, to teach us, and to guide us. So just as Elijah is mentoring and training Elisha, and as Yeshua mentored and trained his disciples, he has given us his spirit to train us and teach us and to lead us in the direction and how we are to walk and the decisions we are to make and how we are to act, how we are to show his goodness on this earth, how we are to manifest his goodness and the weight of his glory on this earth. We are his representation. We are the instrument that shows the world his goodness, that shows the world the weight of his goodness. And so his spirit is upon us to help us, to guide us and lead us on how we show his goodness, how we show the weight of his goodness to the world around us. And he tells him, look, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be fearful. So we need to guard what is going on in our hearts. We cannot allow our hearts and our thoughts to be filled with worry and anxiety and fear and doubt. But our hearts need to be filled with belief, with trust, with expectation. Our hearts need to be filled with peace. He says, peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. Remember, Elijah heard God's voice in the cave as a whisper. If you're not in peace, if you are troubled and you are fearful, you're not going to hear the whisper of God. But you have to be at peace. You need to be in that quiet, still, calm place in order to hear the whisper of God. But he has given us his spirit. He has placed his spirit upon us because he has called us to be a prophet unto this world. Okay. The next thing we see in the call of Elisha is that upon Elijah coming unto Elisha and throwing his mantle upon him, Elisha gets up and follows Elijah. Elisha first honors his mother and father by telling them goodbye, but then he follows Elijah. He accepts the call. We see the same thing with the disciples. When Yeshua is walking on the Sea of Galilee and he tells them, I'm going to make you fishers of men, come with me. They leave behind everything and they follow him. If we're going to do something great, if we're going to make an impact on this world, if we're going to accept the mantle that has been placed upon us, we have to be willing to leave behind what we are in and go to where we're being called. We can't be fearful to leave behind where we're at, to leave everything behind. Almost every person that we read about in the scriptures that was called by God left something behind to follow him and to go with him. Abraham was called out of the land of his fathers into a strange land to live as a stranger. He had to be willing to go to a place that was a little bit outside of his comfort zone. He had to show the faith and the trust in God who was bigger than him. and the call that was bigger than him. He had to show that faith and that expectation and that belief that he had in that call. And that's what Elisha shows. He is willing to follow. Are you willing to follow? We have been called to follow him. Are you willing to follow? Are you willing to leave behind that which he is calling you to leave behind in order to follow him and accepting the mantle and what he has called you to do? Then the next thing that we see here in the scripture in the last verse is that Elisha ministered unto Elijah. Basically, what this is meaning is Elisha became a servant unto Elijah. So the period of time in which Elijah is training Elisha to be the next prophet of Israel, the training that Elisha is receiving and what Elisha is doing is simply becoming a servant unto Elijah. He is witnessing and seeing what Elijah does while he is a humble servant unto Elijah. So he is called from working in the field, a humble beginning, to still being humbled and serving the prophet of Elijah, who he has willingly followed. And I'm pretty sure at this point that Elisha knew what was going on in Israel. He probably knows that Jezebel and Ahab hated Elijah. And in choosing to follow Elijah, he was aligning himself up with this prophet who was hated by Ahab and Jezebel. But he believed in God and something that was bigger than Ahab and Jezebel. And so he accepted the call, even though it meant following this person who was hated by the king. Okay? And he humbles himself in serving this individual. Before Elisha ever received the anointing of Elijah, he first served Elijah. Before he was ever exalted, he was a humble servant. And that teaches us as well. Yeshua tells us that we are to be a humble servant. Yeshua himself was a humble servant. He washed the feet of his disciples. Even though he was training them and they were his disciples, he humbled himself and washed their feet. And he did that before he was ever exalted after his resurrection. So we need to learn to be a servant, to be willing to go through the humble beginnings. And when we're in the humble beginnings, and when we are serving others, to have the right attitude, and to be a person who is grateful for where we are, to show gratitude for where we are, to show gratitude for the fact that we are able to serve, that we're able to learn, and that we're able to receive the mantle from someone else, and that we're able to receive the mantle from God, that we can receive his spirit, and that his spirit will lead us and guide us. And it's in having that gratitude and that joy and going through being a servant and being a servant and not exalting ourselves, but willing to humble ourselves, that we can show ourselves to be one who is trustworthy, one who is faithful, one who can be called to do something greater and not just stay where we are. Had Elisha chosen to grumble and complain about having to work in a field, God never would have sent Elijah his way to call him to be the next prophet of Israel. Had David had the same approach in the field while tending to the sheep, had he grumbled, had he complained, he would not have been called to be the next king over Israel. Had either one of those men chosen to look at what they were doing and say, what I'm doing is not of that importance. It doesn't matter if I'm faithful. It doesn't matter if I can be counted on or trusted upon, because all I'm doing is working out here in the field. No one's paying attention to what I'm doing. No one is giving me thanks for what I'm doing. They could have felt unappreciated and just felt like they were at the bottom of the totem pole, but they did not take that approach or that attitude. They took joy in what they were doing, and because they took joy in what they were doing, they were found to be faithful and trustworthy. They proved to be people who could be trusted and counted upon in the task that they were doing, even though it may have seemed small. It is in showing that we are faithful and the things that are even the smallest things that may seem the smallest unto us, and having joy and being thankful for the opportunity to be able to do what we're doing, that he calls us to something greater. And that is his desire for us, is for us to be as Elisha, as David, one who can be faithful in the little, because it's those who are faithful in the little that is given much, that will be made a steward over much. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.